Blog Talk Radio.
You were young and your heart was an open book. You used to say, live and let live. But if it's ever changing world in which we live in, make
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on June the 26th. After the high of last week of having the return of Tanath, we've got a special show for you tonight. There is going to be three guests coming on in the second and third hours. And we're not telling you just yet, but all I will say is Cosmic Voice is going global this evening, and I mean global. Craig?
Yes?
Are we ready?
I'm ready for about anything. I tried to find out some things about what's going on and all this as to what I've been keeping up on as much as possible. There are a whole load of things in the works that should be coming public pretty soon, I would think. Within the next week or so, hopefully. I found that out as the affirmation or confirmation of information I'd received. And I've been looking into some histories and looking into some pasts. Everybody I know wants to know about the future, and ooh-wee, give me that inside info and all that stuff. Well, yeah, you're going to get some, but you ain't going to get what you expect. There is a large group of people who don't post on the internet much, don't talk to people much, and ain't got a lot to say publicly. That's that silent majority that kind of hangs out in the background, don't vote, you know, doesn't participate a whole lot and all this sort of thing. The apathy. Oh boy. Apathy's a screwy word. I would call it more like trained fleas. You put them in a jug, put the lid on the jug, hit your head a few times on that lid, and they don't jump out of the jar no more. Even though they can jump 3 feet high or thereabouts. And we got a bunch of problems with trained fleas. Everybody knows that the influx of the cabal has been great. It's been growing, and it has been becoming more insidious as time goes by. More and
we lost you then.
Oh boy. Huh?
We lost you then.
You lost me?
Yes.
I was echoing.
No, we lost it all
it's going to be a fun show if I end up talking to myself. I mean, you know, that sort of willy boogers things up. Anyway, I've been studying some things out for quite some time. People that don't know me probably well enough don't know that I've been involved with the originals. That's the Native American Indians. For quite some time, I have made some inroads. We did have a few, although minor, victories in certain areas. At least they were victories. Most people have not looked at our history. It echoes again. Am I cutting out again?
Yes, you did.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to have to – somebody tell the cabal to leave me alone. I got some stuff to say, and I'm going to say it whether they like it or not. Just, you know, grit your teeth and bear it. I mean, you did this to yourself. Consequently, whatever happens, happens. You knew what you was doing when you got into it, as most agents are informed when they participate, that you may or may not be a good enough asset to be preserved. You're probably more like expendable assets if you fit in with veterans and other people that supposedly do the work of the cabal, namely wars and all that other fun and game stuff. So you guys, you know, instead of screwing up the show, listen up. We'll give you a little preview as to what is going on and what's coming. Now, contrary to popular belief, our history has been basically a big lie. Anybody's ever seen old Western with the Indians attacking and the cowboys shooting? talk about a crock. There is very little in the John Wayne movies that's correct. Now, the patriotism John Wayne shows, I agree with. However, that applies to a land owned or occupied, and I don't mean forcibly occupied. I mean occupied as you grew up there and you were born there kind of thing. Being your own person in that respect goes to land rights, property rights. And, oh, yeah, we get into all of this good stuff. I've had a lot of people come off with posts on different things, and I blow them out of the water with a one-liner. And I hope everybody is looking at these things in the form of sort of a critique. In other words, I'm not just trying to be funny in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, I'm trying to be instructional at the same time, as well as funny, because it's some of this stuff's laughable. If you think that you can file one little piece of paper and fix it, you ain't ever talked to a lawyer or read an insurance policy or seen a contract in your life. Look at what you had to go through to get a driver's license. Who? And why do you got to have that? Because the cabal says so. Constitution says you ain't got to have one. As a private individual, you are free to travel, period. No restrictions, no taxes, no encumbrances, no licenses, period. Ooh, yeah. It's posted on that funny little website, AmericanNationalMilitia.com. I ain't going to play with these people. They want to, you know, you want to play with that, then they'll have, what you do is in traffic court, you bring that little piece of paper and you submit it as evidence. And what are they going to do? You know, and I don't personally want to get that far because the prosecutor doesn't have any right to read charges. I object. He wasn't there, Your Honor. He doesn't know what the charges are. And then you come up with the other part of it. The officer says, well, he did that, that, that. Oh, really? No, wait a minute. You work for these guys that you're going that is paying you, and you're going to say that I did this so that they can get some fine money and continue your paycheck, and you don't have a vested reason, and I object, Your Honor. That ain't right. I want an independent witness. If you're going to witness charges, and I'd like to know how you're going to witness charges if there had never been a conclusion that there was a crime committed. And if there's a crime committed, I'd like to know the basis of the crime. Oh, and would Your Honor please entertain this little piece of paper I found? I think you might find it of interest. You submit that little piece of paper that states very clearly that the Constitution states that you have a free right to travel, period. Yeah, that's right. No driver's license, no license plates, no taxes on your vehicle, and all that happy stuff. Oh, he can't rule on that. The only person that can rule on that is a federal judge. Okay. And it takes on an average of anywhere from 2 to 3.5 years. And the poor officer has to make all the court dates. Anytime that officer does not make that court date, the lower court and county and or state is subject to penalties that are pretty humongous. They don't want that, so they're going to argue about it. They don't want to be held accountable. Oh, let's see. There's Benghazi and IRS and Fast and Furious, and oh, my goodness, the list just goes on and on and on. The really interesting part is the capability of a sitting officer of a corporation to play games with the law, such as Obamacare. And no, Pelosi, it ain't Affordable Care Act because there ain't nothing about it that's affordable. Now, we bailed out AIG once, and now we're doing it again. Come on, guys. Hello. What do? We do the political sidestep. We don't say nothing at all and accomplish a whole bunch of things in the process. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, well, let's, you know, as I said, let's get into the histories of some of this stuff. being involved with some of the originals nations and knowing what's going on and finding out this and learning about that, in case you don't know, white man come in, and at first it wasn't too bad of a deal. Now, the Indians did explain to us, and yeah, originals, whatever, the Indians did explain to us that you know not to go out there and just kill everything. That don't cut it. And I agree. You don't go out and screw up the ecological balance of the woods you live in if you live off the woods. That don't make sense. So you kill only what you need to eat. You take only what you need to live on. And so long as the population is not too dense. Uh-huh. Big cities. Think about that for a second. We paved it over, concreted it up, bricked anything that would hold still long enough. How much wildlife you got in the cities? Well, some of them are experiencing a resurgence. The bears, wolves, foxes, and other critters are moving back in. They decided, all right, we'll see how much all that you really are. You cannot imagine what it would be like to come up again, come up face to face with a 300-400-pound bear. It would just soon eat you as walk around you. Or mountain lion, it might be looking for a snack. I mean, anyway, so that was the basic agreement between the two societies. Now, and I'm going to have to agree with the originals on this totally. The originals thought the white man was insane, totally crazy. They would come down and watch him. Hey, man, look what he's doing now. Yeah, he crazy, all right, you know. Using a plow is no-no. You don't need to do that. You can go out there in the thick of the grass, and I got grass in my front yard that's 4 or 5 foot tall, easy. I mean, it grows up here. In other places that it's got some decent soil. And what's interesting is that I got more critters living in my yard now than I could shake a stick at. I went and mowed a little bit of it. I had snakes and frogs and stuff just going in all directions. I don't think I'm going to mow the whole thing anymore. I'm going to allow certain portions of it to go fallow because we deserve the husbandry in terms of what that context means, what husbandry is. We deserve the responsibility to see to it that we don't take no more from the critters, from nature, just because we can. Don't go in and just clear cut because you want to grow grass. You don't do that. You respect the fact that you are a part of an ecological chain that is, at this point, kind of getting a little threadbare. Mm-hmm. Our ocean's got some problems, and if those problems are not rectified, and we don't start doing some things in a different, totally different manner, mankind will become extinct. Like it or not, that's where it's at. And everybody thinks, oh, well, you know, have a tuna fish sandwich, whatever. A lot of the critters that are caught now, when only 100 years ago, were perfectly sound in terms of a food source, have to be treated as toxic waste. This is very similar to atomic waste. Now, these are just little ideas. Now, back to our situations. I find it interesting that you can declare a ceasefire and continue to shell civilians. Hello, Ukraine. How you doing tonight? Are you still shooting artillery rounds at people that don't have no defense? What kind of a military does that? Come on now. Putin has backed up. And I thought he was a little more courageous than that, but he backed off. He backed off because the saber got rattled from, quote, our side. Well, I hate to tell y'all, but you needed to have gone in there and treated things as they are, not as you want them to be, but as they are. And I don't mean to have some kind of knee-jerk overreaction. I mean that we got people giving us the finger in certain countries that we supposedly won the war in. I wonder what those poor podunk Neanderthals would do with B-52 carpet bombing when you found them walking down the road. I want you to think about this. Yeah, I got some military experience, and we found out in Vietnam that it's real simple. You let the boy expose himself while he's trying to, while he's got his thingy hanging out, he's kind of vulnerable. And these boys are hanging their thingy out, telling us to kiss their Watusi and everything else. I'm surprised, but not really. And then again, now we got Obama acting the fool. Yeah, that's right, fool, total fool. Everybody thinks he's an idiot. That boy is far from an idiot. He's got advisors that are really sharp. He's got people that know how to get things done, whether we like it or not. He's been playing games with things that he should have been called on the carpet for quite some time. Obamacare is illegal. It does not pass constitutional muster. Whether anybody likes it or not, it don't make no difference. There are certain things within the Constitution that prohibit that sort of action and act. The nationalization, as it is called, of industries is forbidden. We are a democracy. We have a free society, supposedly free. At least it is. It's free enough I can do this show for a while yet before they clamp down and get nasty. Anyway, so things are afoot and at high levels, and so where does this bring us? Well, everybody likes to play the game of sovereignty. And what does it mean to have this capitalized and a little red number on your ID cards and this and that? And what do you mean that Social Security is not guaranteed? Well, there ain't no law that says it's guaranteed to you, not even the money you pay into it. Maybe we ought to work on some things here. If you withdraw from the system, you withdraw totally and completely or not at all. Meaning that when you separate yourself totally and completely, absolutely, cleanly from the system, none of the things within the system can apply to you, including any kind of benefits or helps or any of that. You can't go to the free clinic no more. It's not yours. You don't have access. You gave it up. You can't get Social Security. You can't get any kind of benefit, as it's called. Boy, I think it's interesting how they twist things around in terms of meaning and definition. How did something that you paid for become an entitlement? That's an unqualified taking. That's what an entitlement. I have the right, so I'm doing it. Then go to a point where it's a government benefit. These are descriptions of Social Security, in case you don't know. So you got all these people acting supposedly like a fool. Well, you got a pretty sly fox in that long-legged Mac Daddy in the White House. I guarantee you do. Why? He's got some advisors and people that do know what's going on and how to play the system. Now, you got two systems. One system is the one that they're promoting and propagating and forcing down people's throats. And the second one is the system of freedom. You might want to take note that no individual people of any kind at any time has started a war. It was either a deity or a government. I told them to go get these guys. They're bad guys. Got to be. They won't listen to me. Bomb them back into the Stone Age, huh? Well, that didn't work too well either. We started running out of bombs. Somebody that can go and bomb about two-thirds of Europe couldn't bomb a small country like Vietnam. Somebody that has the capability that we have cannot handle the problem in Iraq. Come on now, you could have peace in that country in 2 weeks. Easy. You allow the certain territories that were there before the British screwed it up to go back into existence. You then can couple them together as a country or consortium or federalization, or however you want to look at it, as Iraq. Bingo. Everybody goes home and quit cheating at each other and start trading beans and whatever else. What's really funny is some of the things that have come across my plate in the last few days. Judaism came up, being a Jew. Well, Judaism, that's a belief system. Being a Jew is a being a follower of Judaism. Ain't got nothing to do with blood. Ain't got nothing to do with race. There ain't no Jewish race. Don't exist. Got a lot of Hebrews, but you ain't got no Jewish race. I mean, you come across these things and you go, really? Okay, now, white man come over to the States, found a pristine country. We had wildlife here that you would not believe. They used to hunt in Florida back in around the 1800 by clapping their hands. Now, I want you to think about this. Those birds had never heard something of that nature concentrated in a small area in terms of a sharp noise like that and would fall over dead. You go out and pick up the dead ones you got to eat dinner. Same thing with a rifle. You walk up to see a bunch of birds in the feasting on frogs or whatever, and sneak up on those turkeys and just fire a gun there. About two-thirds of them would take off, the other third would stay on the ground running around, and a bunch of them would have already done and fall over dead, massive heart failure or coronaries or whatever. When a man first went into Florida, he had some problems. There was things down there big enough to not only eat him, and I don't mean these little bitty gators we got now. I'm talking about big ones. Something where a full-sized deer only hangs out just a little bit on each side, or a couple of good bites and a man's gone, kind of size. 30 to 50 foot long, big boys. Same thing with the snakes. They had problems when they first took vehicles down there trying to build roads and do this and do that. They kept running over. They'd get hung up. The snake would be so big around, they'd get hung up on the snake. Oh, yeah, and the snake usually would eat everybody, too. That was the other part of it. A few of them escaped. The wonders of this land were unbelievable. Think about the amount of buffalo, North American bison, that roamed the plains, great grasslands that we have destroyed pretty much. You had several large tribes in the millions living off the buffalo, a combination of the buffalo and the land. White man come in with his guns, which were quite a little superior to bows and arrows and lances, and took it away from the people that had been taking care of it for thousands of years. And, yeah, I mean thousands of years. Same time frame as the Incas and Aztecs. That's how long these tribes, these groups of people, these races, indigenous originals, have been here. And people don't realize this stuff. Well, anyway, as I said, you got these sovereigns out there going nuts, trying to do the this's and thou's and thou shalt nots and wherefores and all that happy stuff in legal documents. And I've known a couple of them that did really good job. They got it all the way up to the place, and there was no hearing it. What do you mean? You ain't got no standing. What? That's come up in the efforts with citizen grand juries. Standing. You don't have standing. Bye. Wait a minute. Now, what do you mean I got to, well... I'll say this again very clearly. You have to step outside the system in order to subjugate it. Part of that is becoming a true sovereign. You have to dictate states and state so. Whether it actually has to be a part of public record depends on what you do with that sovereignty. I will suggest that the people that want to serve on a citizen's grand jury exercise said document, and there's couple people that have put them out, including myself, exercise that document and then register it into the public record. Get a certified copy of it. Yeah, you're talking a few bucks, but not a lot. It's got to be notarized. It's best to notarize it with the clerk so that the clerk can't deny that they notarized it and go from there. When that, then when that that group of sovereigns exercises their constitutional rights, it carries force. They already have the standing. Now you got something that they got to deal with. They can't ignore. So we decimated the Indians, our muskets and our cannons and all this other stuff, and the numbers, great numbers of people, along with the diseases we brought that they didn't have a defense for, decimated the American Indian. And we didn't want them to have any kind of easy time of it because we'd been at war with them, and we were the winners, so therefore we had the spoils of war and could decide their fate, and we put them on, man, I don't know if anybody's ever seen the reservations we put them on. A lot of it's pretty funky. There's a few that ain't too bad in some respects, but most of it is funky. Horny toads can't live there. Only life you see comes out at night. oh, yeah, and they're still using Indians originals for target practice in some places. That happens on a regular basis. Similar to what the police do with anybody that don't have standing with them. Yeah, you got to think about these things. The question I got is, what's wrong with people that don't know how to act any better than that? I mean, you've seen it in the Ukraine. That's what we did to the Indians. Bombed them back into the Stone Age like we tried to do in Vietnam. The things that are that are transpiring in terms of the crux of what's going on, it's intricate. And I'm not going to beat around the bush, play games with you. You submit a piece of paper for approval to a government official, let's say the head of state, whomever that may be, whatever office they may hold, whether they're a monarch or not, doesn't matter. And, well, should he just sign that and give it back, or should he present that to the people? Here's why we should do what this document says we should do, that sort of thing. A lot of people at least pass it around to the administration. Well, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I think everybody will go for that. Okay. Some people will be so excited by the ideas presented that they will just jump on and, yeah, give me that. That sounds great. And sign up. A lot of people will present it to the people. This takes a referendum. This takes time. This is not something that you can easily play with. You cannot do these things right now, overnight, this afternoon. It don't work that way. First, you got the transportation problem. How long does it take you to get a document to such and such? Oh, and it cannot be a simulation. Can't be a fax. Has to be an original document. I want you to think about this. This has got to be done right to the absolute perfection of the letter of the law. If not, it don't have standing. Oops, there we go again. All this effort everybody made goes down the toilet again. We can't have that. This is why Neil takes so much time with what he's doing. He's doing it right, making sure that each and every last thing is worded correctly. Each and every last thing stipulates absolutely correctly what something means, what the meaning of it has in terms of impact, and the legal application thereof. Ooh, yeah. I get into some fun and games in talking about this, but same thing goes with sovereignty. You can declare sovereignty with one sheet of paper pretty much, but there's a whole bunch of other things you got to do. You want to secure your property, you have to end up with an allodial title. How do you do that? Well, you need to look up the process. It ain't just something you whiz-bang out, you know, oh, the game's not on anyway. They're not going, bro, I'll just go ahead and do this. Right. Ain't something going to happen on a Sunday afternoon, I guarantee you, or Saturday, because the office ain't open. You got to go to the offices. Where do you all got to go? Usually the county has some pretty good records, but in general, About a third of the time, you can end up going to the state offices. Ooh. The Alloyal Title is a process. The process does give you sovereign right to your property, period. Nobody other than the person with the lien against your property has any say of any kind. And no more taxes on the property and all this other stuff. You know, you want to play the game, you're going to get into some fun and games. Because as soon as you get all this done, then the IRS is going to try to play proctologist with you like they did with all those other groups that wanted to be active in politics. We want to elect our man. We can't do that. We didn't want to be a non-profit, and you won't let us. Yeah, well, what'd you have for breakfast on Tuesday the 14th of January in 2010? What the hell's that got to do with the... You know, you got to think in relative in realistic terms. If whatever they ask of you does not have a direct bearing on what you're doing, you don't have to answer it. And they cannot hold that against you in any form of penalization, such as, all right, we're done, you flunked. I can't do that. IRS has limited powers. They got some. They shouldn't have any, but they're there. Part of the cabal, the enforcement and collection arm of the federal government, the corporation. And while we're on the subject, there are several people taking issue with the corporation. I was involved in the project that has been completed to the satisfaction of everybody involved, as far as I can tell, and it went well. Everybody got their copies like they're supposed to. Everything's registered into the into certain international systems correctly and a whole nine yards. How do I know? Well, I didn't take their word for it. I went and looked. I got in touch with people overseas and said, hey, did you get it such and such? Yeah, we got it. I said, did you open it up? Yeah, we opened it up. Did you find all them packages in there? Yeah, we did. Cool. Are you reading through them? Yeah, I was pretty busy right up until you interrupted me with a phone call. I said, okay, man, get busy. Bye. Now, I want you to think about that real close. I do international calls regularly. I don't have a choice. Some of the people that talk to me live in Russia or China or outer Slobovia. There is a Slobovia, by the way. Ukraine, I had a couple of people there. They disappeared. I don't know what happened to them. I hope they're all right. I had some people in Crimea that wanted to jump up and down and scream about how the whole country was run by a bunch of central bankers. And I said, dude, I already knew that. Everybody knows that. Well, nobody's been talking about it. Okay. So we run it through the website. And sure enough, a whole bunch of foreign countries picked up on that and ran with it. Central bankers take over Ukraine. Let's see here. So, the eastern portion of the Ukraine is where the manufacturing and money is. That's why they don't want to let go. They want them taxes. Not hard to understand, you know, having a moneymaker and wanting to keep it running. It's not hard to understand that the process of monetary or money is the basic leveraged problem. Well, take that away from them, they got serious problems. Now, as I've told you before, the access to the doorways to get to more of what they've been borrowing and stealing has been closed. So whatever they got in the system is going to have to do, and it ain't doing. It's not doing well. I run across the thing where the UK is getting tired of the European Union telling them what to do and how to act. Now, I want you to think about that real close. They're thinking about withdrawing. Now, that's going to create some fun and games, hardships, and problems. But they might be willing to do that anyway, just to get out from under the thumb. Then you got Germany and France and Italy and Spain and Portugal. You got a whole bunch of countries over there that are just not too happy and ain't doing too well and have been doing worse under them, quote, austerity programs. Uh-huh. Now, we experienced it here in West Virginia, austerity program. They cut each and every last lifeline that helped people Each and every last one of them. Cut them all. The governor was told to fix it or else. And it's been getting fixed, believe me. They're transferring funds, anything they can think of. I mean, you know, people around here are stringing up from a tree you don't act right. And I don't think that it matters if you're a governor or a sheriff or who you might be. I get the feeling that the man was told in no uncertain terms that they weren't necessarily going to put the rope around his neck either and haul him up in the air. That would be painful, man. Then you got these cuts come through. And have you noticed that they didn't cut a paycheck? Oh, they cut big ones. They didn't cut them down to size at all, didn't whittle on them, but they cut all the social programs. Anybody noticing this stuff? Have you noticed the little real short clip video that a certain good friend of mine sent me about Obama declaring that we should bow down before a higher sovereignty? Good Lord, man. I don't know what it takes for anybody that has missed it all. You got former presidents saying, we are going heading toward a new world order. Good Lord, man. Do you know what that is? Socialism is the creep towards an end, okay? You go usually in this order. It doesn't have to follow this order, but it usually does. You go from socialism to communism. You go from communism to fascism. The fascism is an evidence of the, quote, Nazi regime under Hitler. Comply or you get stomped out. And I mean out of existence. You don't come back, that sort of thing. and that's an interesting story, too. Most people ain't aware how many of the people that do anything in this country at all, in our good old United States of America, are Nazis. Ooh. Now, the Nazis have been coming out a little bit here and there in the news. Not greatly, but a little bit. So, what happens if you got a whole herd of them that you imported? Oh, Operation Paperclip, and oh, we just didn't notice that the Bushes didn't have that Bush name before, but they changed it to that anyway. Yeah, and then we got dual citizenship where you can owe allegiance to foreign powers. That's illegal. And no, I don't care what the State Department thinks about my statements either. The State Department was manned by a woman who committed 4 counts of manslaughter, first-degree manslaughter, intentionally. You hear that, Hillary? Talking to you, babe. You got an international gun runner, and I would call the man personally a pretty slick crook in charge of the Justice Department. Hello, Eric. How you doing, babe? Yeah, that's right. It was under his direction that those things were sold across the state lines, and then it continued after they were discovered. He stopped it. Oh, and then you want to have gun control. Oh, boy. Yeah, well, then you get the right to privacy. The cell phones can't be searched unless you got a warrant and all this happy stuff. People are beginning to pick up on things and say, no, finally. You know, and that's that word, you know, what part of no don't you understand? The situation where you end up having to pull a gun out and shoot somebody in the crotch and say, you understand it now? You know, or whatever it takes, depending on the situation. Sometimes you can pull a gun out and they'll get so cowardly, all you got to do is nick them on the head with it real hard and they fall over and you're done. They call that brandishing. Ooh. Well, now. Does that mean that anybody at any time pulls out a gun and goes running around with it is brandishing? Well, according to a lot of state laws, it is. That means the police, there's a whole bunch of police need to go to jail. lose their right to have a gun. I'm one of them crazy cases of a redneck in the woods with too many guns. I don't brandish, I just pull it out and shoot people. It works better. That way you don't have to worry about it. And if you act like nothing went on much, a lot of the times very few people notice. kind of messy. The garbage man probably hates me in some places, but, you know, I mean, you get into these things and you look at it in a comedic manner, but it's come to a point where several police chiefs in several large cities have stated, get you a gun. If you don't, you're subject. What do you mean? They're going to bring their gun, kick in your front door, and stick that gun up your nose until you do what they want, or they blow brains on the wall. Wouldn't it be much better if when they kicked in the door, you answered with a 12-gauge? It's not difficult to understand. Second Amendment rights, why do we have that? It is not for self-protection. It's to make sure the government acts right. Our forefathers, they wasn't stupid. They went through several wars on this. The ideology that once you have subjected yourself to becoming a member of the corporation or the unification of states, United States, that you are stuck with it permanently and you may not secede. Well, that's not exactly true. If and when the federal government decides that they're going to play games with you, there's several recourses. If they continue to subject you, and I'm talking about cutting funding for this or screwing with you this way, closing up the roads, not letting you out of your state, or whatever fun and games they can dream up, you have the right to fully and completely ignore any of their edicts, to include their existence. That's called secession. And the governor has the right to mobilize the National Guard and stand opposed. The militias probably would back them up if anybody had the guts to do that, and I ain't seen a governor yet that's got the kahunas and is willing to put himself on the line like that. And you got to have a pretty good reason anyway. But we have a serious problem, and one of those serious problems is apathy. Why ain't that silent majority talking? Well, they do on polls and stuff. They're beginning to come out that way. A lot of these polls, and I mean a lot of them, somewhere in areas, 70%, give or take, of the people do not agree with most of the things that have been going on. Well, dude. I couldn't believe that young punk called Cavuto a dude. That was hilarious. Cavuto about broke a gasket. And so what happens when he asks about it? Don't you think we ought to have mutual respect? And the guy looked at him, and he was a younger guy, and he's a good friend, and he said, well, dude, and everybody lost it on the five, or whatever it was at Cavuto show. The interesting part about this is two things. One, self-respect. You either believe that you are worth something, and you have value, and can have an impact in the lives of others, or you don't. You got to get past that one first. And I don't want to hear about depression and sore muscles and bumped bones and ripped fingers and all that. I did that for a living for 50 years. Tell me all about it. you either feel that you have self-worth and take pride in building something. You can be happy that you're able to make your bills. Obama's trying to take care of that. He's trying to change the labor law, which stipulates 40 hours as a full work week, to 30 hours. Ooh, maybe 32. I don't remember exactly what he said. He's changed things so much it's hard to keep up with the boy. But what do you think about that? Where does he get off playing with that law? Where does he get off playing with the thing that says that you're going to mandate employers and employees to comply, period? What are you doing playing with it? I mean, that's almost like playing with yourself in public, in my opinion. I mean, it shows that the boy ain't got, you know, very much couth. So where do we sit? Well, we're sitting on the edge of things. And the edge of things is that there are a bunch of things being implemented. They're a little bit behind the scenes, but not much. If you get out there and look, you can find out about them. Now, a lot of people got that no-fly stuff out, and it was early. And I'll stipulate that I'm tired of the weight club myself, but I've learned that it don't do no good to get impatient, whether it's yourself or with what's going on or not. That doesn't make any difference. What does make the difference is whether or not you take proactive action towards the culmination of the objective. Ooh, yeah. Let's get into military speak. Did you go in there and wipe them out and then come back? and not leave nobody behind. Nobody got hurt. Mm-hmm. Good boy. Pat, 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 pat on the head. You know. The ideology that America still has the capacity to be one of the greatest nations in the world is alive and well. These people are beginning to come out of their shell a bit. And it's not because of this show bombarding them with stuff. It's not because of the ideas expressed in all these freedomizer posts and, oh, man, you gotta resist or any of that stuff. It's because you get to a certain point and you know what needs to be done and you know the right way to do it or what is right to be done, what's correct. And it's far from that, just about as far as you can get. Some of the things that have been going on is that the EPA said, was told, no, you may not close down the coal industry. Think about it. You may not require regulations that impinge specific industries, such as coal-fired generation plants. I hope the power industry is paying attention. Turn the coal mine back on, commence to pump it in there. There's a thing called a plasmic burn. It's not difficult to implement. Takes a little bit, yes. It's a little bit of an investment, but this is the cool part. You ain't going to need them scrubbers no more. It burns absolutely 100% clean. Why? Well, it becomes an atomic energy production system rather than just something that you set fire to. We want to limit the coal industry here, coal-fired generation plants, and they're putting in 50 to 100 of them all over the world. We don't have any agreement. Well, you got a European idea called a carbon tax. If you use any kind of fuel, they tax you for that privilege. Yeah, that goes along with all the other stuff they're charging you for. Now, we're close to 50% in terms of charges and taxes and whatnot. It goes about 1 or 2% above that, and it's done. So, you know, this goes back to the original conversation that I started about sovereignty, being able to be immune to the federal corporation. And a lot of the indigenous tribes, the originals, American Indians, they prefer original, have been reclaiming their territories. They did not give up peacefully. They were militarily defeated to a point where they didn't have a choice. You know, you fight with somebody up until wintertime and then quit fighting and say, well, you want to starve to death, you want to sign this paper. Think about it. I mean, it's not difficult. Just like New York State says, you can't heat with wood no more. Really? Says who? Is that a state-level EPA dude that thinks he's all that? Maybe one of the main courts needs to put a little ruling on, stamp a little ruling on his butt and tell him no. Actually, wood heat is, when done correctly, is less pollutive than a car on average. And they'll dispute that. You put this much dut-dut in the air, and you do this, and you do that, and oh, my. Ever hear of a catalytic converter? Do you know what that thing puts out? Sulfuric oxide. It's a gaseous form of a certain chemical. And the chemist thought he was drinking H2O, and he drank H2SO4. Ooh. Talk about a drain cleaner. H2SO4 is sulfuric acid. Anybody ever get battery acid on them? Ooh, that's some nasty stuff. Guess what? Sulfuric oxide turns into when you add water. H2SO4. Ooh, sulfuric acid. Ooh, guess what you're breathing? Ooh-ee. This is not a pretty picture. And they knew this coming up front. You think chemtrails are bad? Well, we got fluoride in the water. We got sulfuric acid in gaseous form in air, plastics in all the water, all the oceans. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, and who started all this Humpty Dumpty horse hockey? And when does the egg fall off the wall? And are we included in the egg? This is something you got to start thinking about. But as far as things go, there are a lot of things getting ready. The final preps, the last of the final preps with our military, oh, yeah, they probably didn't want me to mention that, but I'm going to, have been made. Everything's in place, ready to go. Last time I talked to some people internationally, there was at least 132 nations involved in standing up and telling the cabal to shove it or no. Now, you wanted some official things going on? European Union members are not real happy about going along with the idea of further sanctions. The business interests in the United States that we were just getting ready to slap some more sanctions on Russia said, well, wait a minute, you're beginning to get painful to us. We don't care about Russia playing games over there. Let Putin do what he wants to do. But, I mean, you know, we're trying to keep the rent paid here, and you're kind of screwing that up. They're objecting strenuously. There is not much that is unaffected by the actions of these, quote, administrations, these governments, these oligarchs, these richie-richies. Our administration, the one in the Ukraine, a large portion in the U.K. The U.K. is totally owned by the banks, fully and totally owned. They refinanced the debt so many times they don't know which ends up, or I might say, oh, I want you to think about that real close. you got debt on top of debt. Oh, yeah, and then you get a layer of bonds in there and all that stuff. I've been watching the financials. I don't know if you watched that, but the Dow is beginning to flutter like a butterfly that got stuck in the grill of your car. They're going in and out of bonds. They're buying gold and then selling it and going back into bonds and coming out and going ring around a rosy. There is no safe place. Everybody might want to, you know, get this, write this down on your forehead or whatever you got to do to keep it in mind. Put it on a little sign on the mirror in the morning or on the coffee pot or however you want to do it. There is no safe place to put your valuables, your money, your assets. There ain't no safe place. Why? Well, declare a national emergency and take everything. Think about it. What happens if the federal government closes the banks? All of them. How you going to get your money? You ain't. So, as these certain original indigenous Indian nations have been reclaiming their sovereign right to their territory as it originally was, their original boundaries, others are beginning to take note of things and look at how they might be able to garner the same sorts of things for themselves. And you're about to get a crash course in some things here in this next hour. And I believe we're at the top of the hour, ain't we, Tom?
Yes, we are, Drake. All three guests are ready. So we've got a couple of songs, and I'll try and tune them all into the show. Right, we'll be back shortly with three special guests. Enjoy the music.
From a jack to a king, from loneliness to a wedding ring, I played an ace and I won a queen, and walked away with your heart. From a jack to a king, with no regrets I stacked the cards last night, and Lady Luck played her hand just right, and made me king of your heart. For just a little while, I thought that I might lose the game. Then just in time I saw the twinkle in your eye. From a jack to a king, from loneliness to a wedding ring, I played an ace and I won a queen. You made me king of your heart. For just a little while, I thought that I might lose the game. Then just in time, I saw the twinkle in your eye. From a jack to a king, from loneliness to a wedding ring, I played an ace and I won a queen. You made me king of your heart.
As far as Hawaiian music and all music, it's not especially understanding what it is, but feeling the music. And you know, in Hawaiian music, I think there's a lot of feeling that cannot be explained, so that's why it's important.
We the voices behind the faith of the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian race, rise for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e. We the voices behind the face, the Hawaiian nation, Hawaiian race, rise for justice, the day has come for all our people. We the warriors fought to live on what the land is she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty. Power of the people is a people, the people care about the Kaina, O Kaina. The land that she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty. Yeah.
Moni ana kōreo e ue ni e, i kahi manu noho ai kai. Ki ai makalae o te kaha, o ia kai wala na maali. Uriri e ahana, pili e hene, pili e ahana. Uriri hoi e hene, pili e ahana, pili e hene. Uriri holo holo kaha kai e, o ia kai wala na maali.
Okay, I'll play
two verses.
Hi all, welcome to the second hour of Cosmic Voice. Drake's going to say a few more words before we introduce our three special guests this evening. Drake?
Yeah. I've told everybody that Mr. Keenan has introduced me to people that I never thought I'd meet. Heads of state, people of importance. The people you're about to meet in my book are of extreme importance. Their efforts need to be honored. If we can support them, do so. I am an old-fashioned patriot. I personally go with freedom, even if it kills me. And I believe these people probably are of a similar ilk. I believe that these people have some of the answers that people here have been looking for, and the exercise of what they're attempting to accomplish, or will accomplish, in my opinion, is something everybody can look to. That's all I got to say.
Right. Okay. We'll bring on our first guest. He is the known one, the special one from with the Irish descent. Are you ready, Mr. Keenan? Obviously not.
Yeah, he was on, and I think he's typing, or someone is typing.
Right.
I told him to start talking.
Okay, I'm on.
Hi, Neil.
Hello, good morning.
Good evening.
Let me tell you, it's morning. My eyes are half closed.
Yes.
But you know, I wanted to get this to you, and so that you have the horse's mouth speaking to you, not any middlemen any longer.
Yes.
It's good for Drake. It's good for you. It's good for the people. Me, it gives me a break and allows me to be quiet. You hear that, Drake? It allows me to be quiet.
No. That's my. I'm mountain mouse. I don't know which.
I'll be a church mouse then. I'll be whatever has to be. I'm gonna let the. I'm gonna be introducing to you King Kelly'i from Hawaii. And Count Aiden, who is one of the top jurists in the world, as well as also heavily involved in the global accounts. If you want, you can put their video up. I'm sure they're well-dressed. Me, keep me off because I'm half naked. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Please don't give us a visual of that, Neil.
You don't want it. You don't want it. So we'll keep me off so I can. It's 100 degrees here probably, so it's the windows are open, and you know it's a nice night. But this should be a good show. People will learn about Hawaii, what the American government is attempting to do to it. They'll be learning the most likely the alternatives to what the American government's doing to Hawaii, and what we can do to the American government, the Zionists, with Dr. Aiden. Dr. Aiden, he has quite a bit of power in the judicial world, and he's the one that that can make it click. So he's with us. So is the King, many others, and you're gonna like what you hear. They're both on our team.
Very good.
okay? It's a good show. It'll be a good moment for all of us, and I think we should continue in this path, bringing people like this on.
Yes, the net is spreading wider, Neil.
Huh?
The net is spreading wider. People we're bringing into the group.
Yeah, well, this is, nobody's ever had a king before. You do.
Yes.
So enjoy your show. You can bring the king on if you wish in the dock.
Yes.
Are they on yet? No.
Yes, they are on. They're just muted at the moment.
Okay, let's get them on and let's get the show going, Thomas.
Right. Okay. First person I'm going to introduce is the King of Hawaii.
Kelly E.
Aloha kakou, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here today. It's 3:13 in the afternoon here in Hawaii. I wish all of you were here enjoying the sunshine and the soft breeze and beautiful ocean. Aloha.
Aloha. It sounds rather nice. It's, well, I live in Florida, so it's rather hot here as well at the moment, so that's good. Would you like to give us a brief resume of your life?
Yes, thank you. I come from a very, very long line of chiefs. On mother's side, she comes from the Kamehameha line, and most of you are familiar with King Kamehameha I. He had several sons up to Kamehameha V, and then King, he is not connected to Kamehameha, but King David Kalakaua, then his sister Queen Liliu of Kalani. On that side, I come from the Naupio line, which is the sacred line of the royal blood. King Kamehameha was married to my great-great-great-grandmother, Queen Keopulani, who was of the sacred line, as I stated. And before Kamehameha could speak to her, he would have to go on his knees and away from the shadow, because his shadow could not be cast upon my great-great-grandmother. That's how high her sacred line was. So from that, Kamehameha Ailuau, which is also a sacred line from the line of Maui. But for protocol reasons, my genealogy is chanted because of its sacredness. Other than that, I'm here restoring the kingdom of Hawaii. We are currently engaged in discussions. There are many, many meetings going on throughout the Hawaiian Islands regarding nation within the nation. Many of my people are very deeply opposed to a nation within a nation. We were a nation well before the overthrow of the Kingdom of Hawaii in 1893. Queen Liliuokalani at that time was forced to abdicate her, to leave her home under duress and threat. Now, she could have called her military together. Although the queen didn't have a standing military, she had many warriors, and many of the islanders would have been very happy to stand and fight. But the queen, in her wisdom, felt that there was no need to fight because she trusted the United States to do the right thing. She trusted that Grover Cleveland, the president back then, would do the right thing. Unfortunately, that did not happen. Today, there's many, many groups that have come about to try to do their best to restore the kingdom. The great thing about all these groups is that they educated the public, educated the world about the overthrow of the kingdom of Hawaii, and that's good. There's so much I can tell you about Hawaii and the struggles that we're going through.
Right.
And there are many, many, many people, as Mr. Drake had recently said, that he would die for his belief in seeing a free world. So would I and those around me.
Right. Thank you very much for that. We're going to introduce our final special guest this evening, Dr. Aidan.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I am too blessed and stressed. I'm good. Now, I must caveat this by saying
I'm in an area in Myanmar where there are power outages quite regularly. So you may lose me until I turn on the generator. Okay. But if you lose me, do call me back, okay?
Yes, will do. Right. Mr. Aiden, do you want to give us a brief resume of your life to date?
Okay. I was born in Singapore. I've just celebrated the 33rd anniversary of my 33rd birthday. And I've been a lawyer for the last 42 years. And I'm Chief Justice for all Borneo nations, for several Native American nations, and I'm an Attorney General for His Majesty's Government, the King of Hawaii. And I was educated in England, as you can't tell.
Yes.
And I went to Devonshire.
Right.
And that's it. Married with three children, wife. I'm a practicing Christian, very proud of it. Live by the word of God, die by the word of God. Very motivated about being associated with the Kingdom of Hawaii. Because there's so much, I mean, when you say travesty of justice,
yes,
it'll be the understatement of the year, or understatement of the century.
Oh, yes.
And everybody, in the name of the rule of law, skewered them, literally barbecued them,
yes,
cheated them, and then called them savages and barbarians.
Yeah.
You know, in the name of Christianity.
Yeah, the irony of it all. Yes.
Yeah. And Hugo Grotius, who's supposed to be the father of international law, and Emmerich Vettel and John Locke and all these people talked about, we need to go into the wilderness and Christianize these people. Well, look what the Protestants did to the Catholics in Ireland, all because we worship God and call him by different names.
Yes.
You know?
Doctor, take it easy on Ireland.
Well, I love Ireland, man. Don't forget, I did my master's in Shelburne University. Yeah, most of my friends are either Irish or German.
let me explain something to you all so you understand. The three of us are all dear friends. And we're all on the same team, everyone. And we're not going to let anybody knock us around.
No.
I'll let you go again. Go ahead. I just want you to be careful with that Irish stuff.
Yeah. Well, you see, he's FBI and I'm FBI. I'm full-blooded Indian and he's full-blooded Irish. All we need is another Italian and there'll be three FBIs. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But anyway, let's go today with the what's said in Latin. I'm going to translate that in English. In docti discant et ament nis peritai, which means let the unlearned learn and the learned delight in remembering.
Yes. Well, I agree. There's not enough people who have learned the world over. It's encouraging that so many have took up the alternative news of what's going on, rather than the news that's the propaganda that's
right,
portrayed on the mainstream media.
Propaganda is right, yes.
And lots more are now stepping forward and are suddenly taking a lot of interest in the things that are unfolding behind the scenes. Our history has been rewritten on so many levels. It's frightening, really. And it's going to be a lot of learning in the future for people.
Yeah. I'm sure you've read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. You know, where some very important key people stopped the motor of the United States and disappeared.
Hmm.
You know. So I believe that may happen very, very soon. Because the weapons of mass distraction, you know, CNN, Fox News, and all the comedians.
Yes.
They keep us entertained, but they don't keep us enlightened.
No.
You know, so people need to get awakened to this. People need to get awakened to the fact that one of the, I think the greatest American who ever lived, in my opinion,
My very humble opinion. I think the greatest American who ever lived was Henry David Thoreau. That's the man who invented civil disobedience, which Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela practiced.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I used to tell people in America when people are complaining, oh, the price tag is $1.50. I said, you know, you can bring it down to 20 cents. Oh, how's that? I said, if a million people stop buying gas for a week, maybe a month, don't go to work, just keep enough food and water, they will bring the price. I mean, there's sales taxes, federal taxes, county tax, municipal tax, tax. Everything is an axe.
Yeah.
You know, when the price of gas is, what is it, $135 a barrel? That works out to like 70 cents. And they add on all these taxes.
Yes.
What is it in Hawaii, Your Majesty? Is it what, $5.20 a gallon? What is it?
It sounds, I'm not sure actually, but sounds good to me.
Yeah. So,
I don't know what it is, there, Doc, but you know, the king told me we can take the subway and it doesn't cost anything.
Exactly, yeah. Or make a
they
phone call.
Good subways.
Yeah, we don't have a subway here, but,
yeah.
You know, my attorney general brought up Mohammed Gandhi. He, along with Nelson Mandela and the Dalai Lama, are three of my most favorite people of history because they restored their nation without violence. All the violence was around them. They themselves were advocates of peace and to put things in the right order. That is my philosophy as well. I take that ammunition from Queen Liliuokalani. She did not want violence.
Yep.
She wanted the kingdom to be restored in a peaceful, orderly fashion. Hence, I speak to the nation. I speak to the people quite often. I send letters out of encouragement, and I work with many world leaders to bring about a peaceful solution, knowing that Hawaii had many, 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 many treaties because we were a nation. We're not a race. We have never been a race. We are a nation, had been before the overthrow, the illegal overthrow of this kingdom. And as a nation, we are restored through me. Now it's just getting out to the rest of the world that the kingdom is restored. That I am Dali Manaonui, excuse me, Dali Nui Mo'i of this island, these islands, this entire archipelago. Mr. Williams, if there's any questions that you might have, please, I welcome your question.
Yes, some details for the members. Hawaii became a U.S. territory in 1900 and then a state in 1959, in spite of many protesters. Can you both talk about how this process started and where we're up to with the reforming of Hawaii as a separate island outside of the U.S.?
Well, that's a very good question, and it'll take a long time to bring everybody up to speed in history. Because for an example, the islands was once taken by England.
Yes.
And July 31st, 1843, Queen Victoria of England restored the kingdom back to King Kamehameha III. And then from him King Kamehameha IV, then the rest of the Kamehamehas, excuse me, fifth, then David Kalakaua, then Queen Liliuokalani, as I mentioned. That's when the overthrow began. It started with the missionaries, actually. It started about sugar. It was all about money, commerce.
Yes.
Hawaii's rich soil provided the opportunity for people to capitalize. In the meantime, our nation was being robbed of its natural resources. Our language, our dances, our tradition, everything was stolen. And our Hawaiian language is now being restored. Well, actually, it is restored. The King Kamehameha schools and other Hawaiian emergent schools are teaching the Hawaiian language. Hawaiian culture is alive and well through many of the people who are steadfast and strong in their beliefs. And regardless of the odds and adversities, they remain faithful that the kingdom will be restored. And to them, I give them lots of love and aloha.
So has the papers been filed and accepted at this point?
Another question. As there was an apology given by then President Bill Clinton, the apology 103, I believe, dash 5. I'm not sure of the actual sightings, but the apology states that the Kingdom of Hawaii was taken unlawfully, et cetera, and they apologized. But you don't apologize without making restoration or restoring a reparation for something. You don't just apologize and walk away. So based on advisement from my attorneys, my attorney general and others, I don't need permission from Congress. I don't need permission from the United States or anybody to restore this nation, because I have all the power in the world, and that power comes from God. These lands was never owned by any human being.
Yes.
This land belongs to God. And how can humans put taxation, et cetera, on these lands? But that being said, I don't have to have permission. I move forward with the House of Nobles, who sought me out. And, well, the old process was the House of Nobles would find a worthy person to become the king. And they sought me out and found me worthy. And that's how I am who I am today.
And if I may jump in, Your Majesty.
Yes, please.
The power of the Kingdom of Hawaii comes from God, and on a human level, international law recognizes the Kingdom of Hawaii, and that's codified in Section 1 of the 1933 Montevideo Convention on Rights and Duties of States. You don't need anyone's consent, permission, approval, acknowledgement, endorsement. You don't need any of that. I mean, that's
absolutely
like a married man, married to his wife for 40 years, and every time he wants to have sex with his wife, he doesn't go and ask his in-laws permission. That's asinine, you know? But the beauty is this. America thinks it succeeded. Churchill said it beautifully. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. So the Kingdom of Hawaii has the courage and soon the wherewithal to continue restoring the kingdom. We don't feel and we don't believe we are beaten.
Absolutely true.
How can you convert or how can you taint or contaminate the DNA of the truth? You know, an international law seems to favor the right of conquest, the right of discovery. Yeah. Okay. Columbus discovered America. Fantastic. That's like a four-year-old who discovered the family refrigerator. I mean, America was already, you know, I mean, the fellow who actually first set foot there was not even Amerigo Vespucci. It was a Chinese who discovered America and Australia. And that is recorded in a book written by John Menzies. And Hu Jintao, the president of China, when he was addressing the Australian parliament, actually made reference to that. And the Chinese, they will not say anything that's going to embarrass them. They'll never believe in putting their foot into their mouth. They did their research. They did their complete research. You know, so when America thinks, oh, well, America, you know, Hawaii is ours, that's like a allodial title. You can stand up there and say, hey, I'm the king of the world. Well, under the freedom of speech, nobody can do anything to you because you can be a madman and claim what you want to claim. But that doesn't make you the emperor of the world. America can claim, oh, we took it lawfully. And then they were struck by this incurable disease called conscience. And then they came up with this apology. you know, Public Law 103-150. And they said, oh, let's make it a law. Excuse me, be it enacted in the Congress and the Senate assembled that we are contrite in our spirit. We were thieves. We were crooks. We continue to be crooked. But please, sorry. That's the law of the land. But it did nothing else. I can slap you, stab you in the back, chop your head off, and say to the family, you know what? I'm sorry. I'll make a law. I tell you what, I'll make a statue. Let it all go away. This is justice? No. It's called just us.
Yeah. You know? I guess a question I like to pose to you, Ms. Williams, and those listening to them. Can the people out there justifiably see that or approve Hawaii becoming a nation within a nation? How can a criminal demand from you more of you? When the kingdom was stolen in 1893 by the United States unlawfully, the Hawaiians have been fighting for the independence ever since then. So if a thief came in your house and occupied your house and said, well, you can't come into this house under these conditions, would you accept that?
No.
So why should my people accept what the United States has to offer when they are in fact are the criminal?
Yes.
And speaking of imprisonment and criminality, et cetera, I was falsely accused and spent 14 years in prison for no crime I ever committed. The only crime I committed was being a Hawaiian, being someone who loved my nation and loved my people. And there's an old saying, there's no cure for the bite of a false accuser. Lies have speed, but truth has endurance.
Amen, Your Majesty.
So I mentioned three men. I mentioned Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and the Dalai Lama. These men were put in prison for their beliefs, yet they committed no crime. Their love was for the people, to help the homeless, to help those in need, those who are suffering, those who are diseased, and goes on and on. I'm honored to be put in those ranks because, like them, I too have been put in prison for something I didn't do as well. And to be accused of taking money for what kind of money, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And with the intent of committing a crime and given 24 years for a crime you didn't commit is ludicrous. Rapists and murderers get far less.
Yeah, it's shocking.
And so this was politically motivated,
yes,
for me to be removed from these Hawaiian islands. And I can assure all of you that there are many, many good people in the world that get, unfortunately, caught up in junk. And this junk does not define who you are. If you can take a deep breath and move forward and still believe in the greater good and believe in faith and believe in God and believe that your mission is sacred, as I do, then I continue to move forward and restore this nation. And I hope that after this broadcast that many of you will come and join and be part of this historical, beautiful moment that we're doing, is making right the substantial wrongs.
Yes, I agree. Hear, hear. Right. Another question for you. Can you tell our listeners about what happened to the islands when Captain Cook and the Westerners arrived?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Again, that will take a very long time to go through the whole historical event about Captain Cook. But when Captain Cook came to these Hawaiian islands, his intent wasn't based on things that was good. At least we don't believe that. History shows us that Captain Cook didn't care about these Hawaiian islands. His men of 66 that was on board was disease. They came with gonorrhea and syphilis and all kinds of diseases that infected this nation, and thousands died. They had no cure for these diseases. Cook and his men didn't care about the Hawaiian Islands. They didn't care about the people. They didn't care about the beauty it represented or all the wonderful things that God created. They were more concerned about havoc, causing pain and sorrow. When Cook came to these islands, he came in fine clothing, and many of my people back then thought that he was a god, someone of great stature and well-educated and so forth, because he came on a ship. He had supplies, he had nails, he had weaponry, and these things my people didn't see. Now, Hawaii was, most people say, a tribal, but we work with nature, and everything that my people created came from the trees and from the pohaku, the rocks, and everything we did, we worked in harmony with nature. So we didn't have steel or iron or any of these things that Cook came with. When Cook left Hawaii, Cook took much of my people to Alaska. Again, I could go on and on, but I want to save the time for others to respond.
Now, if I may jump in, Mr. Williams, there is a book out there called The Journal of Captain James Cook on his Voyages of Discovery 267.
Yes.
It's written by J.C. Beagle-Ho, and mm-hmm. it's available from Boydell Press. The first book came out in 1967.
Right, okay.
Always remember that someone's history is not your history. They're right for themselves to either make themselves look good and wonderful, and they cloud the truth. We speak the truth. People may not like us for speaking the truth, but I'd much rather hear an uncomfortable lie than a comfortable truth.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Right. Can you tell us, since Hawaii became a U.S. territory, can you tell us the impact it has had on the full-blooded native Hawaiians?
Well, historically, when Hawaii became a territory, again, it was to benefit the sugar growers, those who are interested in money, fattening up their purse. They wanted to have the United States side with them. They wanted to avoid taxation. They wanted to keep the majority of the purse. The people of Hawaii, seeing this, refused to work for the sugar growers, the pineapple growers, the sugar cane, et cetera. They refused to work because their philosophy is, and I agree with them, why do we want to work for those who stole this island? It made absolutely no sense. You know, there's a petition that was done in, 1939, I'm sorry. There was a petition that was made. I'm trying to recall the exact date and time. But the Hawaiian people never, ever gave up their sovereign right. I just want to say that. They never gave up their belief that the kingdom would be restored. They never gave up on God. They never gave up on their fellow human beings. They believed that if one is connected to me, whether he is a non-Hawaiian or not, it'll continue on, that eventually people will come to know the truth of the overthrow of the kingdom of Hawaii. And the Hawaiians didn't care about money. Whereas the sugar growers back then, when they were territory, Doe and all those individuals, they were more concerned about money and the destruction of the kingdom, more so than preserving these islands. The Hawaiian people they didn't care about money. They didn't care about owning land. They cared more about preserving what God created for us. that speaks very well of who we are.
All right, thank you very much for that. Question to Dr. Aidan. What was the legal process of returning Hawaii to a sovereign nation?
Okay. When we look at it from the overthrow to the apology resolution, it's really no resolution because it is what it is. It doesn't restore or redeem the kingdom. Now, the only way the kingdom, and we are working on it right now, can restore and redeem its sovereignty and its true identity under international law, which is called jus cogens, to invoke Article 1 of the Montevideo Convention on the Rights and Duties of States, which clearly says, excuse me, to be recognized as a nation state, you need to have a population of your own people. Now, the Kingdom of Hawaii has that. You've got to have your own geographical boundary. Now, that's a fait accompli. We already have that. You've got to have a government. We already have that. We have the king. We have the legislature. We have the judiciary. We don't have a security force yet. And lastly, you must have the ability and the capacity to enter into relations with other nation states. So the Kingdom of Hawaii satisfies all those four criteria. The next thing we need to do is, and we are already doing that, we have filed suit in the United States Supreme Court, telling the United States Supreme Court, mind you, we're not asking, we are telling. The moment you ask, they could say no. So you don't ask. You invoke a right to enforce it. You invoke a privilege first that becomes a right. Now, what is a right? A legally protected interest that can be enforced in a court of equity, not in a court of law. Because in a court of law, if the law is an ass, then it will be asinine. So the coming back to what has that got to do with the Kingdom of Hawaii, we don't ask. We told the Supreme Court, we want you as an independent organ of government to state the fact that we are a continuing sovereign. Now, why did we do that? We do that because in America, we have a stupid rule which says you must exhaust all your administrative remedies. If I went to the World Court, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to charge the president under Statute 27 of the International Criminal Court for war crimes. Grover Cleveland, the president at that time, perpetrated genocide. Now, under Statute 27 of the International Criminal Court, and I'll be arguing this case, I'm going to charge Mr. Barack H. Hussein Obama for perpetrating war crimes because he did not do anything he could have done, he should have done, he ought to have done to restore the kingdom. If Clinton could have apologized, half did what he was supposed to have done, then this so-called Harvard professor, Illinois senator, should take it upon himself to restore the kingdom. Instead, he goes and releases five known terrorists to save one deserter, Bo Bergdahl. Now, let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yes.
When you serve the army, you are ready to die for your country. I don't care if they kidnapped you. What's all this? I sacrificed my life. That's the reason people join the army, to die for your country. So I'm sorry. I'm very, very angry about this. What did they do? What did Barack Hussein Obama do
to tell the Kingdom of Hawaii, listen, Clinton was very busy preparing his wife to take over from him. He forgot. There was Monica Lewinsky. Okay, all of those. Okay. But I'm here not only to apologize, but to give you back your kingdom. Now, he's made 225 executive orders or so. He's made about 235 recessed appointments. What the hell is stopping him from correcting a travesty of justice?
Yes.
He wants to save one fella who deserted the army, release five terrorists, and now what's happening in the Middle East is out of control.
Yes, absolutely shocking.
You know, so that's what we are doing. We are telling the Supreme Court, and after that, I'll be in New York filing this suit against Barack Hussein Obama for war crimes. I mean, if they can do it to Milosevic, they can do it to Pinochet, they can do it to Hitler, they can do it to all these guys.
Yes.
They should do it to the President of the United States. You know, here we are interfering in every other country's affairs. Let me ask you this question. It may be an explosive question. What if all the countries of the world decided, you know what, we are killing babies in America, all right, because of Roe versus Wade. Let's attack America. Will they be justified in saving abortions? Vis-a-vis, are we justified in interfering in Libya, in Tunisia, in Algeria, in Syria, in Iraq? Why? We had a non-interventionist policy.
Yes.
Until Pearl Harbor. Now, what if the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor to restore the Kingdom of Hawaii back to the Kingdom of Hawaii? Now, what would have happened then? Would they have dropped a bomb in Hiroshima, Nagasaki? Can the Kingdom of Hawaii drop a bomb in Washington, D.C. and be justified and say, hey, you took my land, I'm going to overthrow you by destroying you? Under international law, we can do that.
But, Doctor, you're the bomb for Hawaii. You're the bomb that's going to drop on Washington, D.C. They're not ready for you.
Yeah, but
you're that good. They're not ready for you.
No, I know, but and here we are pontificating, you know. Oh, he went to meet the Pope. Oh, he wants peace. Oh, he wants to shut down Guantanamo Bay. Oh, he wants to save the world. Look at the way you treated black people in America. Look at the way you treated Native Americans. Look at the way the whole continent was there. Now they're living in tenements in a so-called reservation.
Yes.
You know,
and
so,
that's what we're avoiding here in Hawaii. We will not be a nation within a nation.
No way.
We're our own sovereign nation, and that's who we were then, and that's who we will be again, and that's how we'll be forevermore.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is genocide, ongoing genocide. And we worried about Pol Pot in Cambodia. We worried about Tiananmen Square. We worried about every other beheading in the Middle East. What about the babies we are killing here? What about the black people you treated like dirt, subhuman? You condemn Hitler. Hitler learned about sterilization after Buck versus Bell. He learned about Lebrunterpolitik, about grabbing land belonging to Untermenschen, meaning subhuman people, because the Native Americans were subhuman. So he said, okay, I can consider the Jews as subhuman too, because after all, America did it. Read Mein Kampf. He talks about it.
Yeah.
He got his idea of sterilization from 1925, Buck versus Bell. I have it all recorded.
Yes.
So we were that paradigm. America was that paradigm, standing on that bloody hill as a shining example to the whole world. We are here to save you. But well, in the meantime, we'll make sure the blacks go away. We'll make sure the Native Hawaiians go away, and we'll try and get rid of the Native American. Yeah, no problem. Oh yeah, let's make a law here. Oh yeah, okay. Let's make some law, and then not wink, wink. The Supreme Court will give some success. We only had 12 successes, 12 since 1801, where the Native Americans won in the Supreme Court. 12 out of 385 cases. 12 cases based on the same law.
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the stupid United States Constitution, which says Congress shall regulate commerce with foreign nations, among the several states, and with Indian nations. So the preposition with instead of among made Native Americans and Native Hawaiians by extension a foreign nation. So why did you sign a treaty? What is the definition of a treaty? It's a treaty, it's a compact, a covenant, a contract between two sovereigns. So if the Kingdom of Hawaii is not a sovereign, why the hell did you sign a treaty with the Kingdom of Hawaii? You didn't abrogate the treaty when you overthrew the kingdom. They never abrogated a single treaty. So as far as the Kingdom of Hawaii is concerned, from a juridical, from a judicial, from a legal, from a lawful, from a legitimate standpoint, it's still standing.
Yes.
All it took was a scratch of the pen. We don't need anyone to tell us whether we are real or not. The only thing we lack is a standing army.
Right. And given the location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, you got me on a day when I was very cynical.
That's okay. I didn't disagree with any of it. The only sort of people, a lot of our listeners understand that a lot of it is nothing really to do with America. A lot of it, the directives come from across the pond in the city of London.
Yep.
And also the Vatican
past.
So, you know, I've been highly critical of the U.S. military because they've done a lot of crimes in the people's name. I'm highly critical of my birth country because they've done a lot of crimes in the people's names as well. You know, this goose-stepping around the world. Destroying people, destroying land, collecting resources, and decimating the populace has to stop.
Yeah, Scotland is leaving the empire.
Yes.
You know, and I'm glad someone like Mr. Keenan.
Yes.
Was identified by the family as the linchpin to do something with these financial instruments that the Bilderbergers and the BIS and all this so-called ECB, European Central Bank, and the IMF and the World Bank, they think they control paper. Yeah, they do control paper money. Mm. They don't control the real wealth.
No, not no more.
Yeah, I mean, the Constitution of the United States, which is violated, somebody once asked me in court, Judge, what is the difference between the Constitution and toilet paper? I said, toilet paper is softer. You know, the Constitution is very clear that you cannot emit bills of credit. Means you cannot print paper money.
Oh.
You know? So they went and did what they wanted to do, and you know, and nobody is stopping them. You know, but I like the David and Goliath story.
Yes.
You know, when David met Goliath, all of Israel looked at Goliath and said, "My God, this guy is too big to kill." David thanked God that this guy is too big to miss. That's the difference, you see. One was fearing, the other one was thanking God. This guy is so big, I can just close my eyes and throw a stone. I can't miss. You know, anyway.
Dr. Aiden.
Sir.
How did you come to meet Neil?
All right. I retired from working for people in 1992 in Seattle, Washington, and I went on a tour around the world teaching and law, teaching business, finance, blah, blah, blah. And I was in the Bahamas in 1999 in the Atlantis. We had a five-day seminar, and I was teaching, you know, about global finance, the programs, the wealth enhancement programs, blah, blah, blah. And a very well-dressed man with four or five people came and introduced himself. He said, "Hi, I'm Brian Turner. Oh, I said, hello, how are you? He said, oh, that was very good, very entertaining, very educational, very informative, blah, blah, blah. And one of those well-dressed guys looked at me and said, do you know Mr. Neil Keenan? I said, nope, but why? Oh, he says, I thought you were him because you guys seem to know a lot of things about what's going on in the world. I said, Neil Keenan, huh? Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm sure we'll meet one day. And then this guy looked at me pointedly and said, you will meet him one day. And sure enough, some people got together and put Neil and me together, and we are like brothers. And, we're getting to know more about what's happening in the real world. We're getting to know more about who is who in the grand scheme of things. The propagandists, the weapons of mass destruction, distraction, they believe in perception. It's what you see. You see the World Bank, you see the United Nations, you see this, you see that. But there is like a kabuki dancer. You know, there's something in the shadows that nobody sees.
Yes.
There are people who don't want to be known, like the Bilderbergers. They don't want to be known. Yeah. But they're taking orders from other people. Then you have China. You have India, old civilizations. It is only Arnold Toynbee's history book that said the Harappa civilization of India went back to 10,000 years, not 5,000 years.
Yeah.
So there are like the family now in China that has appointed Mr. Keenan to expose the fraud, to prove the real value. Until these guys turn around and say, okay, what do we have to do to tango? We're not asking you to do the tango on a pinhead. We're just asking you to tell the truth. You cannot print money if it's not backed by gold, period.
Yes.
You know, and when human things will never prosper, when you do not take care of the divine edicts. And this is why when America took Hawaii temporarily, they violated the Eighth Amendment, thou shalt not steal, and they violated the Tenth Commandment, thou shalt not covet.
Yes.
You know, so it's people like Mr. Keenan who, in my opinion, has come forward with the real deal. But that doesn't mean Mr. Keenan knows everything and I know everything. There are things that, you know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, chapter 29, verse 29, it says, call on to me and I'll show you great and mighty things. Secret things that you do not know of. So there are certain things that Mr. Keenan and I need not know because it's irrelevant.
Yes.
How tall is the Dragon family's oldest member? What's the weight of this guy's, how much of food? We don't need to know certain irrelevant things. Yeah. How is he controlling the Vatican? We don't need to know all these things. I mean, when Pope Francis came in, the first thing he did was get rid of the entire banking staff of the Vatican. And why do you think Ratzinger was asked to resign? Because it was in his watch as the director of the Congregational Devotional Forum. This is where clergy abuse come to be reported. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. So people like Sir Geoffrey Robertson, Queen's Counsel, nice man, he's an Australian, Queen's Counsel, he put a lot of pressure, you know, and the Supreme Court in the United States made sure that the Vatican, the Holy See, is not immune under Statute 27 of the International Criminal Court. Whether you're a pope, you're a president, or a prime minister, you are not above the law.
Doctor, let me ask you one question, please.
Please.
This person from OPPT in the last couple of days who has impersonated himself as being the ambassador of the Dragon family. As we all know now, he's not the ambassador. We know that. What can we do now to prosecute him? How do we move forward to come after this man, what's his name, Ron Van Dyck or something, you know? I mean, what do we do to come after him, and how do we move forward on that? You're the expert. I want to know.
Well, okay. First of all, let's talk about criminal law. What crime did he commit?
He perpetrated a fraud.
Okay. If he had a guilty mind, you know, actus non facit reum nisi mensit rea. That's the Latin maxim which says the act is not criminal until there is a mental element. So if Ron Van Dyck did what allegedly he did, and I believe he did, then we can get him under criminal law. But to get him under criminal law, the state, the government, must sue him or must indict him and have a grand jury, blah, blah, blah. What we can do on the civil side is get him for libel, slander, and defamation. Now, if let's say he says you're a crook, and if he can't prove it, then you got damages. You got all the five.
And can we all?
You got CAGES, compensatory, mm-hmm. aggravated, general, exemplary, and special damages, CAGES.
And they will also have to reveal the name of the make-believe ambassador. Am I correct?
Yeah, well, then the Dragon family can issue an edict from China, and he can be arrested in American soil or British soil, and Interpol will go and hand him over to the Chinese authorities.
Well, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, so, and this is why, you know, you must mean what you say what you mean, and don't go with this thing about, oh, well, this is what I meant. No. You know, the law is clear. It does not need any interpretation.
Well, I listened to that video, and it was quite clear what he was stating, that he was part of the Dragon family and acting on their behalf. He mentioned Neil briefly, wished him well, and then started talking about Swiss Indo and OPPT. OPTT. And you think, oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
This is utter rubbish. Right.
I'm sorry, Mr. Williams.
You
have a record of what he said, right?
Yes.
So if Mr. Keenan intends to pursue this, could we use the material? Because we don't want you to be subjected to subpoena.
Yes.
Okay, lovely. Very good.
Right, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to have a couple of songs, and we'll be back with the final hour with Dr. Aidan and His Majesty. Bye for now.
Thank you.
I am strong when I am on
your shoulders, raise me up to more than I can be.
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice, the final hour this evening with our three special guests, Mr. Neil Keenan, the King of Hawaii. Last week we had the Queen of the Stars. This week we've got the King of Hawaii, and Dr. Aidan. And I'll just bring Drake back. Hi, Drake.
Yeah, I've been here listening.
You enjoying yourself so far?
Yeah, this is kind of fun. I don't have to do a whole lot.
Drake went to sleep.
No, I ain't sleeping. My wife wouldn't let me do that.
I don't know if you can go to sleep through this one.
Well, now, I did ask one question. I give it to Tom. Let me see here. The question was, can those of us in the States accomplish our freedom through similar means?
Dr. Aidan, can you answer that?
Yeah, could you run that by me one more time, please?
Yeah. Can those of us in the States accomplish our freedom through similar means? In other words, I know it's going to be different.
In America, you got the Seventh Amendment, which says in suits at common law in excess of $20, the trial by right of a jury can never be examined by any court. Now, a common law court, they're not talking about Article 3 courts. They're not talking about Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 courts, where Congress shall have the power to ordain and establish inferior tribes. They're talking about a people's court. Now, they didn't want a monarchy in England. They didn't want a democracy. So they wanted a republican form of government. Nothing is stopping the people from having a people's court. Nothing. The Seventh Amendment has never been repealed. If you go to my website, www.scripturallaw.org, I've written a detailed essay about the need for a people's court in America. You and I can go and arrest anybody we like, even though we don't carry a baton or a gun. It's called a people's right to arrest, a citizen's arrest.
Okay, well, now, what was that website again, Scripture?
www.scripturallaw, scripturallaw.org.
Okay.
I've written If you
we'll
go into the
post that, if it's all right.
Say that again.
I said we'll probably post that website if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know why I formed a people's court in a church one time in Seattle many, many, many years ago, and the dumb judge of the state court called me and said, "Counselor, are you telling me that ecclesiastical law is above state law?" And I told him, "I don't know where you studied law, but you obviously don't know Public Law 97-280. And he said, "What's that?" You see, you don't know. The federal law during Reagan's watch that made the Bible the Word of God. The Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 8 says, you are not to go into a heathen's court. You're not to go into a secular court if you are an advocate for Jesus Christ, if you're a believer. So I told him, this divorce that you granted is null and void because the wife came to my court. And he says, can we meet and talk? I told him, well, read up the law, then we'll meet and talk. You got judges who don't know the law. So I'm saying a people's court as a Native American court, a Native Hawaiian court, or an ecclesiastical court is kosher.
Okay.
That is your freedom of association and your freedom of speech under the First Amendment. And that's part of the Constitution. Article 6, Section 2 of the Federal Constitution of the United States says, this Constitution and all the laws made in pursuant thereof and all treaties that shall be made or that have been made and that will be made shall be the supreme law of the land, and all state judges and state constitution shall be bound thereto, to the contrary notwithstanding. Stopping the people. I mean, I have such a court.
Well, that's why I was wondering about it. Well, we've got a thing going on called the Citizens Grand Jury, and they have not implemented a court yet. And there's no enforcement of these things.
It's very
you get a local
easy,
law enforcement, and they start laughing because they don't understand what you're talking about, or they're too ignorant, or whatever. And this has been one of the main problems.
Right. If you look at the Second Amendment, it says in 27 words, three commas, one period, a well-regulated militia necessary to the protection of a free state. Now, free state means people. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. What is stopping the citizens' grand jury from forming their own police force? You don't need the government's permission. Yeah. Now, there is another way to do this.
I would just love to be the sheriff and be able to go in and say, okay, you dinky politician, let's go to jail.
I want to be with you.
No, but that's easy. It can be done.
Yeah,
you
but
see,
I like to make an entry. In other words, I do this when somebody's publicly speaking or some such. You know what I mean?
Right.
I like to get a message out that we the people have had enough of the horse hockey and it's time to play, get the stick out and play hockey puck.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You need to walk in there with 200 armed guards under the Second Amendment, or... Here's another idea. Under the Third Amendment, no soldier shall be quartered in any home during peacetime unless with the permission of the owner of the house. If you've got 50,000 people willing to house armed soldiers, you already have an armed citizenry. The Constitution, nobody
follows. I'm in touch with all the militias here in the states pretty much, and... Believe me, there are quite a few people that I've had to say, no, you can't go shoot the politicians in the butt quite yet. We're not quite ready for that part.
Yeah, well, so you don't want to shoot them.
Ready to go. I just have not elicited the correct support in order to do so. That's all.
Well, email me, brother. You got my email address. It's drjack49 at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Dr. Delta Romeo Juliet Alpha Golf 49.
Right, okay, we'll put that down. Thanks for that.
Yeah, we can do this all day long.
Okay.
Just apply the law,
Okay.
Time to bring the King back in, please. Can you tell us what's currently happening of interest in Hawaii at the moment, with particular reference to the Peace Center?
Yes, thank you. That is my joy to speak about the Peace Center. It's on my agenda to build a Peace Center here in Hawaiian Islands that will teach the nations of the world about ho'oponopono, about how to forgive. Forgive self, forgive your enemies, people around you, because only forgiving yourself can you see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And the Peace Center, I believe it will replace not necessarily the United Nations, but it will replace many other facilities out there in the world, because here in Hawaii, I have practitioners that will be teaching the Huna, the Ho'oponopono, and to me, it's important that we talk about peace, but work towards it. And working towards it, we can accomplish the goal of truly being one with each other and in harmony with everybody.
Yes. Okay. Right.
I'm still on the call, darling.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to be leaving shortly because I have to attend a meeting.
Okay.
As I mentioned in our presentation here earlier, the Secretary General, Secretary of Interior's agent, are here to that they're talking around the Hawaiian Islands regarding nation within nation. Everyone who has spoken are against a nation within nation because that's proper. We don't want to be a nation within nation. There's a lot of anger, but I think it's good that the State Department and the U.S. Congress and everybody know that they cannot manipulate the Hawaiian people anymore. They're educated. They're much brighter and smarter than they were some time ago. They're well informed, and they know that we're never that it would be difficult to become a nation with a nation and live on reservations. I find it very odd to be on an island and the federal government wants to create a piece of land the Hawaiians on as a reservation. Isn't that pretty odd?
Yes, it certainly is.
And so it basically you're in prison within a prison.
Oh.
And that's not acceptable. The Kingdom of Hawaii is a nation.
Yes.
It was and shall be again. Well, it is through me. But the world will soon know the kingdom is restored. And I will be entering into treaties with other nations that out there. And I sent you the treaties on the Skype that the United States and other nations had with the Kingdom of Hawaii. So there in itself is proof that we were a nation before the illegal overthrow of Hawaii in 1893.
And none of those treaties were abrogated.
None of them were. And the treaties are the land, was the law of the land.
Right. It's the supreme law of the land.
Absolutely. Supreme, yes, supreme law of the land. Absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons I said we need to reestablish our relations with Japan, France, Germany, England, and all these countries.
Yes.
But you should write to the Queen, brother. Your Majesty, should.
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes?
I'd like to say something, too. First of all, Erectionally, thank you for all you've done here today. But I want you to know that Hawaii is no longer alone. They've never been alone, but they're acquiring strength. And it's through through the king that they're getting this strength. And with the doctor now participating and assisting, all it can do is get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yes, I agree.
You know, if you listen to the Hawaiian nation speak, you'll see a lot of emotions. You'll feel their passion. You'll see the anger. You'll see all of that. But all of that is righteous feeling.
Righteous indignation.
Right. The Hawaiian people have no hate for anybody because we practice the spirit of aloha. When we see someone else, we don't see their sins. We see the good within that person. So we seek the higher person, which is their higher self, which is their spirit. The Hawaiians have always been that way. They've lived that way in the spirit of aloha.
Yes. Do you have any special plans to honor Queen Lili O'Kalani to celebrate the reinstatement of the Hawaiian kingdom?
Absolutely. And once we are there, I promise you we will come in the air and once everything's all set, and I will invite the world into the kingdom, and they'll see the kingdom as a place of peace and aloha. And I have many, many, many people that want to become subjects or citizens of the Kingdom of Hawaii. Many, all over the world. I have, quite a bit.
Yes. Girlfriend lived in Hawaii for 12 years, so she's kind of interested in Hawaii.
Oh, wonderful. Where does she live?
Where do you live?
Kalapana.
Kalapana.
Kalapana, on a big island.
Yes.
Hawaii Island, as we call it.
Yes.
And the reason the nickname is big, because it's the largest island in the chain.
She's asking, can you give an update regarding Moku Ula Island and the most sacred Loko O Moko Hina Pond?
You're talking about Maui.
Yeah.
You're talking about the sacred lands of Maui?
Yeah.
Yes, we're in the middle of that as well. They want to build a bird sanctuary there. King Kamehameha III used to go over there for his retreat, and many of the royal families there. So to answer the question, we are still in that battle. I have told the nation that my interest is to restore the kingdom.
Yes.
And all the little, and they're not little, they're major issues, to be certain. But I wanted them to continue to fight those issues, the taking of our EVs from the ground unlawfully.
Yes.
Where they're buried, they should stay there. But you have land developers digging up the graves, moving them somewhere else, putting them in buckets, throwing them disrespectfully. If we came over there and dug up the graves in the United States, I would bet you people would try to shoot us.
Yes.
Because they'll find that wasn't great, that wasn't good. So, and back to your question, the best way to answer that is, in order to stop all this atrocities and problems, is to restore the kingdom, 100% restore it. Once it's fully restored, the land, everything would be revert back to the kingdom.
Yes.
Our traditional lands, our sacred heiaus, our temples, everything will be returned.
Dr. Aidan, do you have a time scale for that?
Well, as soon as the Supreme Court, I think that'll take another 2 weeks for them to respond.
Right.
Either way, if it comes back negative, then I'm going to file suit in the International Criminal Court. We are trying to make this happen before January 17th of next year, because next year will be the 121st year of
yes.
the temporary overthrow.
Yes.
So we got to make all this happen before January 17th of 2015. And the Indian word for that is NATO. Enough. We've had enough,
yes.
you know.
Enough
of waiting, talking, debating, writing articles, publishing books. It's a total waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the fellows who preach the Bible, teach the Bible, but they do not live the word. They don't do the word.
Yeah.
You know, even the devil, the Bible says, knows more scripture than anyone else. But that doesn't make you a believer. You got to do the word. So enough of talking, enough of debating, enough of meetings. You know, now is the time for action. That's
yeah.
time to talk, sign treaties, smile, take photographs. That's over. You know?
Yeah.
It's archaic. It's a total exercise in futility.
Well, I want to take this moment to thank both you and Mr. Drake for bringing me online. I hope that the listening audience have gleaned the message that we are a nation and we'll always be a nation.
Yes.
And also thank Neil Keenan for arranging this. Neil is a great man, a good friend, and of course my adjutant general, the judge, and I like to call us a unstoppable force, like a tsunami.
Yes.
I believe that we are this unstoppable tsunami because the truth is the truth.
Yes.
And no matter how you cut it with a knife, the truth will prevail. People may not like the truth, but eventually they will accept it because it is.
Oh, well, I'd like to sincerely thank you. We are honored that you've come on our show, and you'll be welcome to come back anytime, whether you to discuss any topic to do with Hawaii and give us an update on how things are going. You're more than welcome to come contact me or contact Neil, and we'll arrange for you to come on and discuss things further.
Thank you. I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I must attend a meeting, so
that's
I will
okay.
say aloha. God
aloha
bless you all.
You. Thank you very
Hello.
Much.
I'll talk
aloha,
to you,
brother.
Your Excellency.
Wow. Right. We will continue on.
Mark, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you were going anywhere.
Well, I've got to go in about an hour or two to meet a local judge who has a little headache about a case. So he just called me and said...
I'll send you
yeah.
some aspirin.
Yeah, I told him I can send you some aspirin. He says, no. Can you come to the courthouse come by the back door. I'll have the bailiff open the door. I need you. I told him, all right, I'll be there. But that's about an hour.
Okay, I'm gonna. If this is okay with you, you know, they know me pretty well, and you know, and Tomas and Drake and others, they, you know, they're gonna want to ask questions. So you don't mind asking questions, right?
Go ahead. If I have the answers, I'll give it to you.
I got one right off the top. I'd like to get you and the militias and maybe the citizen grand jury people together and see what happens.
Done deal. All you need, you don't even need a building. All you need is a court, which is duly constituted. I can do that. I've already done that. I'm still doing it. And once we get in contact with people, we may need a building when we arrest somebody to keep them there, to feed them there, to house them there, to, you know, for them to take care of their toiletry needs until the court is convened.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
well, let's get in touch with these people first and see where it goes from there. Okay. And I'll see what I can arrange in terms of convenience for you and things of that nature.
No worries. We need some common law lawyers, and I'll find out who's good from your team, and we'll make it happen all day long.
Sounds good.
Dr. Aidan, can you discuss about what happened with the $15 quadrillion deal between the Vatican P2 Lodge and the Sultan of Sulu, please?
All right. I was appointed the Sultan of Sulu's political and legal advisor about 5 years ago. And he told me that he had a few instruments that can be hypothecated, monetized, or put into a high-yield program. And I told him, I said, okay, I started my career as a prosecutor. I got to ask you all kinds of questions. He said, yeah, go ahead. So I asked him a lot of questions, and he answered them, fairly well. And then I told him, I say, okay, I have seen the proof. Can I have the evidence? He said, you mean there is a difference? And I told him, I said, look, if I'm sitting in a room with no windows and two fellows walk in with a dripping umbrella, I'm going to assume it's raining outside without looking outside. So the rainwater or the water on the umbrella is evidence, but I don't have the real proof. Oh, he said, okay, what do you want me to do? So at this point in time, I already know of Mr. Keenan, okay?
Yes.
But I haven't met him. So what we did was I said, all right, assuming your instrument is real, what do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to put it in a program? Do you want to exchange it for cash? You want to what? Oh, I want to get an advance, and I'll use this as my, But anyway, all said and done, about a month ago, Mr. Keenan and I found out that it was hovering somewhere near the Vatican. And my investigators let me know, and I immediately let Mr. Keenan know. And Mr. Keenan was all over it, like white on rice. And immediately, the Sultan of Sulu came back. This is a new Sultan now. The older guy who appointed me and who embarrassed me, he couldn't turn up in Thailand to prove that he owned it, came back and said, the king is ill. We have a new sultan. And can you help us get this done, get that done? So that's how Mr. Keenan and I have come together to make sure that this is the genuine article. And the key may not be with the Vatican.
Mm.
The key is still the Dragon family. You know?
They own the notes.
Yeah.
You see, and he's building, and they reappointed me as their chief legal advisor, blah, 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 and all of that. And Mr. Keenan just got a copy of it last night, I think. And they're building a palace. Well, the problem with these guys is if they have $100 million, they'll come to you to borrow $1 million, you know. And I found out from my people, and mind you, I work with at least 500 investigators around the world. You know, you cannot run a law firm or a court without investigative team. He's building a palace in a place called IPIL on the island of Sulu in the Philippines.
Nice.
and according to usually reliable sources, it must be worth at least $5 million. So where the devil is he getting his money from?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, Sulu has its own gold supply. And this is one of the reasons the Pope sent the Spanish people here. And this is one of the reasons Sulu was always a big holder of gold, which they don't want to talk about.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they also wanted Mr. Keenan and I to be there for the coronation of the new king, September 18th, which is about 2 months away. And they want us to do, he wanted me to take him to the United Nations, get him recognized and blah, 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 and do all these wonderful things. And so we got to, I'm waiting for Mr. Keenan to talk to the family, make sure the $15 quadrillion bond valid and can be validated. And most importantly, if it can be hypothecated or monetized or securitized, you know.
Yes.
But that's real. That instrument is real, but it's in the wrong hands, meaning the Sulu people are claiming, you know, and I suspect it could have been during the MacArthur time. Douglas MacArthur, I shall return, you know.
But
Corregidor, and all of that, you know.
Doctor, it's not just the Sulu people. It's all of them because they've been holding the notes so long, they begin to believe they own them.
Oh yeah, it's called the Eisinger principle or something. If you keep believing something,
yes,
it grows on you and it becomes the truth. The truth, like Arthur Schopenhauer said, the truth goes through three phases. First, it's ridiculed. Then it is debated and discussed, hotly debated and discussed. Finally, it is accepted as self-evident.
Yes.
And that's the same thing with a lie. You know, believe in something.
Yeah. Repeat it often enough, it becomes their truth.
Right, right. And everybody around you believe it, the Eisinger principle. So, and it's the same. You know, where people holding, the holder in due course suddenly becomes the owner. Now, in the law of contract, it says otherwise. The holder in due course is just a fiduciary or a stand-in. You know, for the real actor.
Right. This next question, I don't know whether you'll be able to answer it. You may be. It was for the king, really. Mm-hmm. Are you able to show proof that Obama was not born in Hawaii? And can he be sued for fraud if that is the case?
Okay. Let's go back to what was out there. Donald Trump found some information.
Yeah.
In 2011, I was in China in a high-level meeting when the Indonesian four-star general was sitting in the same table with King Allen, with myself, and some brass. And when he found out that I could speak Indonesian, during lunch break, he brought a photograph and he says, is there anyone here you can identify? And I looked at him and said, oh, that's you. And then I said, wait a minute, that's Barack Obama. You mean Hussein or Sotero, Barry Sotero.
Yes.
And I said, wait a minute. He said, this is sixth grade. And he was not born very far from where I am. And before he could say, finish the last syllable, I said, can you get a copy of his birth certificate? And this guy went, and he produced a copy. And he says, I'll give it to you when you want it. So I kept quiet because, you know, that really wasn't on the agenda.
Yeah.
But it kept bothering me until this Hawaii thing came up again, when evidence of his birth came from a not certificate of live birth, but from an extract of birth from the Department of Social Services. And that was big news all over CNN, all over, you know, Donald Trump got hold of it. And they made enough noise to muddy the waters where suddenly the Hawaii Secretary of State produce a certificate of live birth. And I called the king immediately and said, in another language, Cantonese, I said, I need to get hold of the four-star general because now they're clamoring for proof and evidence. And he says, what is this about? So I told him about this. He told me, is this our focus or getting our central bank done? So I told him, all right, Your Majesty, you call the shots outside my job description. But I can still get that birth certificate and I can prove that he was not born. Now, why would he be born in Hawaii and sent to Indonesia for his sixth grade education?
Exactly. Well, even on his birth certificate, he had the name of an Hawaiian hospital that didn't obtain that name until 1967.
Correct.
And he was born in 61.
Correct.
So, yeah, but
that hospital did not...
Thomas, he from age 6 to about 11, he was attending school in Indonesia.
Yeah.
He had a nanny there, and the nanny, just for us all to know, the nanny has already been interviewed in the Indonesian media, and the nanny, on top of it all, it makes sense when you hear all the things you hear about a Barack Obama. The nanny is a transvestite.
Yes. Well,
you've heard that, I think, too, you know.
Yes, we have.
But, you know, that nanny is scared to death, living in a little shack right now, like a little room the size of toilet.
And did you know that he took the oath of office twice?
Oh, no.
It's all recorded. I have the book. It's called The Oath.
I heard it was kind of...
Okay, fun?
I heard the oath was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first oath, which John Roberts, the Chief Justice, memorized, before he could finish the words, Obama was jumping in. So they got it all wrong. So technically, it wasn't an oath. So the second oath was administered in the White House. But I think the reason they took the second oath was based on an affidavit saying that he is not American-born, and he cannot be the president.
Exactly.
So when the court order, I mean, mind you, you get a court order from FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Services Act court, that's open 24 hours a day, three shifts, you know. Anytime they want a warrant, there's always a judge there. This judgment that he was born in America could have come from a FISA court.
Yeah. You know? We have the king back online.
Oh, we
yes,
do.
Aloha again.
Yeah,
yes, aloha.
Brother,
I'm
back.
So sorry. Thank you. Before I left, I wanted to mention that if your listeners want to learn more about the history of Hawaii and all the work that I am doing and my team and everyone's doing, please go to kingdomofhawaii.info and access all the information there at your leisure. And to inform yourself, that'd be great. Thank you. Aloha.
Kingdomofhawaii.info.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, we've got that, and we're going to post that on our Facebook page. Right, thank you very much for that.
Thank you, guys. Aloha again, please.
Aloha.
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 Right, where are we?
I'm on Facebook, too. It's Truth and Justice.
Truth and Justice. I'll just add that.
T-R-U-T-H, the letter N, Justice. Truth and Justice. That's it.
That's good. Question for Neil.
Oh, God. Go ahead.
Did you call?
I thought I was getting a break today.
I couldn't help it.
Go ahead.
Well, two questions, actually. It's I've heard in news today that the Dubai stock market has crashed. Is this to do with the bigger picture or just a single market issue?
You know, I think the The doctor here could handle that better than me. You're talking about the market.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think, Doc?
Okay. Now, the Dubai stock market, by the way, has run out of paper money. But they've got a lot of gold. And that's just to that's just a little bit of a panic so that there'll be some bullish, some bearish trends where people will start liquidating their stock fast. It's just it's a usual trick the Dubai Stock Exchange pulls every now and then, but it does not affect European or Asian or Australia, New Zealand, American markets.
Right.
Somebody is moving paper to, you watch and see the price of gold will go up within a couple of hours. That's the only way you know when they hit the button.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an old trick. They do it all the time.
Next question.
And just when, you remember the time when Microsoft split its shares?
Yeah.
When it hit about $105, it went into, it bifurcated. 55-55.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, yes.
And then each of them went all the way up to like 275. So the father is a lawyer, and he's a securities lawyer, Preston Gates, the father. I knew him in Seattle. He was just next door to my firm. So that's what they did. So it's just hogwash.
Right, okay. Question for you, Neil. Is the U.S. getting a new currency anytime soon?
Again, I'll defer to the doctor.
Okay, now, there was a man called Jimmy or James Burroughs way back when George III was bid adieu and the Revolutionary Council took over in America's 13 colonies. Came about. The Constitution forbade the printing of money. It says that in Article 1, Section 10, there shall be no bill of, no state shall emit the bill, no state shall emit bills of credit. So this fella Burroughs, and each bank in the 13 states, 13 colonies, they were printing paper money like it's gone out of fashion because they knew that the stock exchange and all the merchants will accept it. So Burroughs ran a very successful continental printing press, counterfeit money.
Hmm.
And the talk those days was, it's not worth a continental. All this is recorded in a book called The Nation of Counterfeiters. So coming back to our currency today, our money today is as fake as a $3 bill. It is still counterfeit. Bitcoin successfully replaced the U.S. dollar. But then Bitcoin got into trouble because what they were doing was far, far better than what the U.S. dollar was doing. So they killed Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So here's what's happening according to my contacts in the Bank of China, central bank people. The U.S. dollar literally has no value. Legally, constitutionally, technically, legitimately. So why even bother? Because it is the accepted currency all over the world. When euro came about, the euro is worth more than the dollar. You remember the trouble? America tried to terrorize the European Union? The euro is stronger than the dollar.
Yeah.
So is the U.S. dollar going to be replaced? It's already replaced. But the sheeple, not the people,
yeah.
People know. Sheeple are the people who love to be led. They wake up every morning praying to continue in the slavery. They continue to use paper money. So because of James Burroughs, they created the Secret Service. Years later, when Lincoln started printing the same thing that the government was forbidden to do. That's one of the reasons they got rid of him.
Yes.
So, yes, the dollar is actually, surprisingly, and not well, it shouldn't be surprising.
No.
They've got a bigger cachet than Fort Knox because they're using the paper money to buy gold. And the printing of paper money, as far as the Fed is concerned, is quantitative easing.
Yeah.
It sounds good. It sounds better and more legal than printing money and creating money out of thin air. So America is hoarding gold again. They tried doing that in 1933. But you know, right, that it was the Dragon family that helped FDR.
Yes. Yes.
I was just going to say they're holding a lot of gold that doesn't belong to them.
What, the gold, the certificates, the bonds have not been redeemed and retired or restored.
No.
So that's the reason they took Mr. Keenan's lawsuit in 2011 in New York. You see, so it's lawful, illegal, it's legitimate. America still owes the debt. And then there was a rumor some time ago, the way it was reported, that the Chinese owned the Fed. And I went back and told a few people, I said, they've always owned the Fed. They don't need a license. They don't need, there was a bank in Hong Kong, in New York.
Everyone,
The entire Fed has relied upon China from the very beginning. From the sending of the gold in the early 30s and everything else, you know?
What happened was when the Sino-Russo War started, Chiang Kai-shek took off to Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And Mao Zedong went village to village, and he literally raised a 3 million strong, the PLA, People's Liberation Army. Now, they knew that Chiang Kai-shek, the nationalist Chinese leader, was friendly with America. They were not sure about Mao Zedong because the French were making trouble in Indochina and China was getting trouble in Manchuria from the Chinese. The Russians didn't want to interfere yet until Roosevelt came into power, and the Chinese turned to Roosevelt and said, listen, you have had a non-intervention policy since the time of the French-Indian War in 1812 and the Spanish-American War, okay? It's time that you got involved. And Roosevelt reportedly said, listen, dummy, we are just experiencing the after effects of the Great Depression. So the Dragon family turns around and says, how much gold do you need? And that's how America became what it is today.
That's true.
Yes.
The reason till today Taiwan is not a member of the United Nations, but it's still got its own central bank, it's still got its own currency, it's still got its own standing army. And that's what I told the King of Hawaii. If Taiwan, East Timor, South Sudan can become a country based on Article 1 of the Montevideo Convention, what's stopping you? Nobody told him that but me. And I don't mean that boastfully. I teach law. I've got a law college going last 20 years.
Right. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. That 3 hours went very, very quickly. I'd like to thank Dr. Aidan for coming on and giving him his wonderful insight. I found that fascinating, and would love for you to come on the show again sometime.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thomas, he's my crystal ball.
I can see that.
All the best. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Aidan.
Great. Yep.
Thanks, Neil, for bringing two lovely guests on.
One second. Doctor, I'll talk to you in the morning when I get up.
Yeah, go to sleep. Good day. Have a good one, all of you. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Aidan.
Talk to you in the morning. Thomas, thank you for bringing them on. I hope that they cleared a lot of things up for a lot of people.
Yes, and I'll be chatting with you soon.
We'll do it again.
All right. Thanks, okay. Neil.
Drake, wake Drake up, will you?
Yeah.
So he can say goodbye.
Drake?
You said what?
Wake Drake up. Good night, guys.
Good night, Neil, and thanks.
Talk to you guys later. Nighty night.
Right.
Night, everybody. Night, everybody.
Good night, Neil. All right, that was thanks to Neil Keenan. It's 4 to 6 in the morning for him. He's been on this show. Drake, do you want to have your final say?
Yeah, this ought to prove a little something to some people, and all I got to say is get her done.
Yes, well. Thanks for that, Drake, and thanks to the King, thanks to Neil Keenan, and thanks to Dr. Aidan again. My name is Thomas Williams. We'll be back next Thursday, and I hope you all enjoyed this show. It was a big follow-up from last week, and we'll end on the song where we've spoken most about this evening. Bye for now. My mind.